Okay, this is our final hour. We'll take your phone calls with John Zaffis when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. John, any research into psychic vampires?
Yes, it's a very common thing where, you know, they could take the energy from individuals. We know that this definitely occurs, and it happens where individuals meet other individuals and they could totally drain them. I mean, there's basically organizations out there, you know, and they're very much into the forefront where they refer to themselves as psychic vampires, where they draw upon the energy of their victims.
They do it on purpose or sometimes unwittingly?
Oh, no, it's done on purpose. They definitely need that energy to be able to do things, to manifest some of the things that they are involved with. Again, that's how they gain a lot of their strength, is by pulling the energy of other individuals around them.
And in some cases, can't you get sick from the psychic vampire?
Yeah, absolutely. You can get sick in any type of circumstances where you have that energy connection going on, dealing in certain types of rituals and things like that. You know, that weakens you. As your energy is getting drawn from you, it weakens you and lowers your resistance to everything. So you definitely can get very ill when that is occurring and happening.
I was going to do a Ouija board experiment a couple of years ago, John, and we canceled it because I just want to put other people in harm's way.
Mm-hmm.
Can a live exorcism be done in a studio or not?
It could. I don't recommend it. Again, it could affect other people. You have to remember, we're definitely dealing with energy, and energy can travel. There's no restrictions with that. So can that affect other people around? Absolutely. That's why I've never really been a big advocate of doing a lot of things on TV as far as the rituals go or exorcisms. If it's something that's pre-recorded from, you know, a prior case or something like that, I don't have too big of an issue with that. But when it's done live like that, that can influence people. It can affect certain circumstances, and you know, it's something I'm very guarded on.
Have you been asked to do that?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Just like I did now.
Yep, I've been asked several different times. And again, I will decline. I don't like putting the clergy or spiritual people, you know, in that type of predicament when they're doing a exorcism over an individual. A house, a piece of property, or, you know, if they're doing something over an item, I have no issue with that whatsoever. But when it comes into individuals, I do.
All right, let's go international line. Jeff is in Victoria, British Columbia. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, Jeff. Thank you.
I don't know whether I had an auditory hallucination or heard a spirit voice. But one night back in 91, I was lying in bed, and I was a smoker at the time, and I was thinking about having a smoke because I couldn't get to sleep. And just beside my left ear, I heard the word cancer, just
yes,
whispered. And I thought my roommate was playing a trick on me. Like, I tore my bed apart, and I looked for a hidden speaker and everything. I couldn't find nothing. And well, I was inspired by that to quit smoking. But the three people from that building that I lived in at the time that I had the experience have died of cancer. So I don't know whether it was spirit voice warning me or whether I was just having a personal nut session, or I don't know.
Well, I will say this. I would look at that as a positive. If a spirit said cancer to you and it helped you to quit smoking, to me, that's a positive.
Yeah, well, that's the way I've been looking at it. But, you know, I also, you know, wonder about the negative aspects. Like, could I help my friends that died, you know?
Well,
I don't know anything about the building or, you know, the circumstances with the other people that are involved. That could have been something totally different that you heard from what they were experiencing.
Yeah, it could have been. but you know, it just has always made me wonder, you know, since they got cancer and stuff and wound up dying, you know, I wondered from that incident mm-hmm. whether it had anything to do with their situations at all.
And how much of it, John Zaffis, could be like Jeff himself, that he's got that ability to be able to do that? And that what he heard was his voice.
You mean Jeff's voice?
Yes.
It's a good possibility. Yeah. Again, we have to remember from a psychological perspective, you know, can we feel that we've heard a voice or we heard a spirit? Do I think that these things can occur? Yes. But anytime something like that happens, where somebody tells me that they heard or they got a message and it was on a positive, warning them about something, to me, I always look at that as a beautiful thing and a positive thing, that's something warning us. And I don't necessarily always feel that it's psychological, but I can't rule that out.
Huh. Carolyn in Seattle, west of the Rockies. Hi, Carolyn. Go ahead.
Good morning, John. Good morning, George.
Morning.
Morning.
I've been listening to Coast for about 25 years when Art Bell used
It's a long time.
It's been a long time. I thank you for taking my call. I'd like to ask you about an experience that I had, if it's anything you've ever heard of before. It happened back in 1981, about 30 years ago. A little more than that. But I had just finished with a surgery, a third emergency surgery, and I was dying. And in the hospital room, there wasn't anyone in there at the time. It was just me. And I felt myself leaving my body, but I wasn't out all the way. And I sensed that feeling of not being there anymore, but still attached. Anyway, there were these beings, and I can only describe them as what you would think of as demons. They're about 3-4 feet tall, and they were trying to get to me. They couldn't, though. There was something keeping them from me, and it was as if I had a dome over my body. And they were frantic. They were trying. They were angry. They wanted to get at me, but they just couldn't. And it wasn't something that I imagined. It was something that's profoundly changed my belief system. I have never been, as an adult, a religious person. I've always been very spiritual, but not religious. And this is something that I've wondered about ever since then.
Well, I think this is a lot more common than you realize. When people, this is what I refer to as a near-death experience, where you have the battle between good and evil. My gosh, I've heard this many, many times from people that, you know, were in very critical condition, where they were witnessing something negative around, but yet something on a positive, and I look at it as something angelic that was helping to be able to protect. Because there's always that struggle of good against evil right up to the end. So again, that's a story, you know, to hear this is a lot more common than you realize. And again, I think these situations happen. When we have those near-death experiences, it's almost like a wake-up call to let us know that, gee, there's things out there we just don't understand, and we're given that choice to either follow on a positive level or to follow on a negative level if the spirit, soul, or energy remains within the physical body.
John, when you talk about this, that it remains in the physical body, the one thing that concerns me as a human being is that what happens if we can't control this? What happens if these spirits are so determined to do what they do that there's nothing we can do to stop it?
I believe very strongly in the power of free will, and I believe that we all have control over our destiny. There's no doubt in my mind that we will continue, you know, right up to our last breath, having that battle between good and evil. And we have to make that choice. And we have to make that decision. Some people give in. And, you know, that's their choice. You know, it's always a struggle. It's always a fight. Always will be. On determining what that destiny will always be. So therefore, I do believe very strongly in the fact that I've seen people, you know, struggle and fight to be able to hold on to that positive, to be able to hold on to the good things in the life. And it can really be one heck of a battle, but I've seen people win. I've seen people conquer it. And it's always been put to me in the terms of that we have free will to make that decision. And it's all within us to make that choice.
Next up, we go to TC in Austin, Texas. Hi, TC.
How you doing?
Good, TC.
I want to tell you about an experience I had in Amarillo, Texas in 82. First of all, I want to preface this with Matthew 7:21. It says, many are going to say, Lord, Lord, on Judgment Day, we prophesied in your name. We cast out devils. And we did many wonderful works in your name, but Jesus condemns them to hell. Do not ever trust a Catholic priest or a charismatic when it comes to demon casting out, because demons are so clever, they actually use these people. They act like they're being cast out when they're really not.
Huh.
My experience in Amarillo, Texas was with a Father Ralph Iorio, who happened to be a Pentecostal Catholic priest who could claim to heal. There was 20,000 people in this auditorium. I was a new Christian, and I went in, and I called him a fake in front of the 20,000. I told him to go to the hospital if he really had the gift to heal and not waste his time with a bunch of people that weren't even sick. And they called the police on me. The police hauled me out of there. And at 3:30 in the morning, this gigantic creature, it was blacker than anything you could imagine. It was about 12 feet tall, maybe a little less, 10 to 12 feet tall. Grabbed me by the back of my neck and grabbed me by my arm. You with me?
Yep.
It grabbed me by the arm and forced me down into the bed, and I called on the name of Jesus. That's all I did. Just, Jesus, help. I claimed the blood, and the thing just started. My wife said it had a wingspan of about the length of a car.
Oh,
I'm not
God.
Kidding. I could feel it. I could see the thing. You know, I could see the outline. It was the size of a grizzly bear. I'm not kidding. And it had a light fur on it. I jabbed it with my wrist.
Got to be the scariest thing you've ever gone through.
I did it as hard as I could. Huh?
That's got to be the scariest thing you've ever gone through.
It wasn't that scary because I'm a Christian. I'm saved, but I know that Jesus is stronger than these critters. You know, they're rough. You know, and they're very. The thing is, it's not they're the big ones are very aggressive. The little ones, I slapped one in Austin, Texas, one night, and I slapped it about. I mean, it knocked it about 4 feet. Well, they're very timid unless they're big. The big ones are aggressive.
They're monsters.
This one in Amarillo, apparently, this thing was working with Diorio. These things can actually heal people. And they can appear to do good things, you know. They're very clever.
What is it about the name Jesus that draws them away?
They can't stand that name because he's our Savior. And, unless you're saved by the blood, by his sacrificial death, unless you have faith in what he did on the cross, you're in big trouble. George, I want to ask you, remember that time you were in Austin, Texas about 5 years ago? I handed you a tract. It was said, where are you going to spend eternity?
Yeah.
It was in blue writing.
Yeah, I remember that. Was that that event I was at?
Yeah, I was a blonde-haired guy, and I didn't get to talk to you. I just handed it to you. Did you read it?
Actually, I still have it in my desk. I have not read it, to be honest with you.
Go ahead and read it.
Okay.
Because that's the only way you're going to get out of this mess we're in, and you don't want to wind up in hell. And that's where most people are going.
Well, I'm not going
there. I'm afraid, you know.
All right, thanks.
Well, if you haven't trusted Christ, you are.
How do you know I haven't?
You said you don't. You believe in a higher power.
I do.
You've never been born again. Huh?
I do believe in a higher power.
Well, Jesus Christ is that higher power. He died on the cross for your sins, shed his blood, and your faith in that blood, and that shed blood.
I'm not denying that.
On the cross.
Where did you ever hear me deny that?
Well, you got all these occult people on the radio.
Well, that's because
95% of them.
That doesn't mean I don't believe in things.
Well, you said you believe in reincarnation.
Yes, I do. That's not evil.
You can't believe in Christ.
Why?
It's got to be Jesus Christ alone for salvation, without good works, without anything.
What does that have to do with reincarnation, with a soul coming back to get better, to reach that heavenly state?
Teaching. I listen to all these guys on the radio, all these people with a near-death experience, the NDP. You know, Satan can masquerade as an angel of light. He can actually, generally speaking, when a demon appears, when they're trying to deceive people, they appear as very, very handsome or very beautiful. I've seen them appear as gorgeous, gorgeous women. You know, you just unbelievably gorgeous, you know. And I've seen them, I saw one, I won't get into it.
Throw one of those demons my way then. I'm single.
I hear you, man, but they can appear as human beings, too. They can look just like us.
But I'm never that. I got to take another call here or break here pretty soon, John. I never get that lucky. The demons who approach me are really demon-looking.
Yeah, well, that's what most of us. Again, too, you know, a key factor is when dealing with the paranormal, especially you doing a radio show, you have to have different people on to talk about different topics so people can get an understanding and learn about some of these things to be able to help protect themselves.
You know, I could come on after every guest and say, the views of the guest are not necessarily the views of the talk show host. I'm not going to do that. I'd spend all my night doing that. But the fact that I have someone on, whoever it might be, doesn't mean that we agree with them, but I think everybody has an opportunity to hear them.
Mm-hmm. And to me, that's what it's all about.
I mean, when we start muffling people, whether we like them or not, we got a problem. And, you know, unlike most talk shows where they want you to just listen to their side, you're never going to get another side with them. You will with us. And that's so important. Are you a demon, by the way, John? Thought I'd ask.
Not that I know of. Not that I know of. I'm around a lot of clergy, a lot of spiritual people, and I don't think anything of asking them to bless me and say some prayers, and I've never had any reactions.
I mean, I believe in a higher power. No doubt about it.
Absolutely. That here again, and this is something that's very crucial in our field. I'm Roman Catholic. I'm a practicing Roman Catholic. But I'm a demonologist, and I study all religions. I study all type of occult activity. And it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to agree with that, but that's a person's choice. And what they do is up to them. So, again, you know, it's something that I think is crucial that people get educated in so many aspects of the paranormal field so that they have a better understanding of what they get themselves involved with.
Heck, I had a guy on named Benjamin Cram. He said he represented the Maitreya that so many people think is the Antichrist. And I got to tell you, people got sick listening to the show physically. And I even felt queasy and had to end that portion with him a little earlier than I wanted to. And everybody felt better afterward. I don't know. The guy seemed nice to me, but, you know, whether we agree with him or not, people, I think, deserve to get their voices out.
Absolutely.
I would interview the devil. I think I did once, sort of. We're going to come back with final calls with you, John, in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, on our next Coast to Coast program, guess what? Friday night into Saturday morning, open lines. When we come back, more with John Zaffis and more with you on Coast to Coast AM. John, I didn't ask you when you were doing Haunted Collector for Sci-Fi. You've got your kids involved, right? Chris and Amy?
Yeah, Chris and Amy. I have three kids. My oldest one's not involved with it, but it was an eye-opening experience. They always just knew me as Dad, but then they got to know John.
I love it. I love it.
So it was great. That was one of the best things out of it because the three of us really got to know each other, and the other cast members, Jason, Brian, and Jesslyn, they're just like my kids, too. And when my two kids get hollered at, they all get hollered at.
What was it like working with your kids?
Pardon me?
What was it like working with them?
What, with the kids?
Yeah.
It was great. It was a totally different experience because they were seeing me in a different perspective. They were watching me work, and they would just look at me. The funniest thing is when they would call up home and, you know, say, you know, did you know Dad does this and Dad does that? And they go, yeah, that's your father.
That's funny.
You know him just as Dad. Now you know him as, you know, John.
They really did get to see a different side of you, didn't they?
Yes, they did. They got to see me really dig in to how I handle things, what I do with things, and, you know, being out on the road like that, you really get to know each other. You're with each other 24/7 for 6 months straight, and you really get to really know people.
Well, you sure do. Okay, let's go to the phones. Kelsey is in South Korea on the Skype line. Hello, Kelsey.
Hello, can you hear me?
We sure can. Magical computers.
Okay, I'm going to have to make this quick because my computer is dying.
Okay.
So I had this experience once in Indonesia where I was falling asleep. I was in that space between awake and asleep, and I was energetically raped by a demon. It had jumped on me. It was straddling me, and it had this skeleton outline. And as it was attacking me, it was making these horrible sounds, like clicking sounds. And it was attacking my, like, spiritual body. I don't know how to explain it, because obviously my physical body was there, but it was sucking the energy out of my spiritual body. And
did it try hurting you at all, Kelsey?
I was just pinned down and was fighting it off, but like it was quite strong. And as it was sucking energy from me, its bones were turning red. And then, you know, of course I'm frightened and I fought it off and it flew away. And I woke up like fully and I looked around and I was scared, whatever, but
sure.
I prayed and I finally, you know, went back to sleep. And again, just as I was falling asleep again, it was like it was hiding in the corner.
It came back.
It came right back. And this time, oh, I forgot to mention, the first time I fought it off, I, like, ripped its head off.
You ripped its head off?
Yes.
John, what are we talking about here, Mr. Zaffis?
Well, again, being pinned down and everything, we call that phantomania. A common occurrence that happens with individuals when these things are approaching and they try to take you over. You can't scream, you can't holler, you can't move. And, you know, it tries everything it can to try to enter individuals. It's a lot. It happens a lot more than people realize, having these types of experiences. And like she was just saying, a lot of times when you let your guard down, it comes right back around. It's not something that continuously happens, but it does occur, and people do have these types of experiences.
It frightening experiences. So sleep paralysis, isn't it?
Yes. You know, there is studies done that, you know, it has nothing to do with the paranormal when a person is paralyzed, they can't speak or talk or anything. But in circumstances like she's describing, that tells me it's a good possibility she had a major encounter with a demon.
How about that for technology, by the way? Calls from South Korea.
Isn't that amazing?
It really is. Let's go to Merlin in Spokane, Washington. Merlin, good morning to you.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, sorry to bother you, but I have two things. One is a question, and the other is a possible paranormal experience I had years ago.
All right, let's go with the question first.
Right, it's about the haunted collector. I was just wondering if John has had any experience with another show called Warehouse 13, and if his show's anything like it, because I haven't seen a show yet.
It's similar, except Warehouse 13 is complete dramatizations of, you know, haunted items and some of the experiences and some of the things that occur. Actually, it's a very good show. I enjoy that. We're going directly right into homes and dealing directly with people or historical sites where, you know, we're dealing with the real thing.
Right, and the experience, I don't remember it too well anymore because this was like somewhere between 16 and 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I was living, I think it was in the Tri-Cities at this time, and I was around 8 or so. It always seemed to happen in my bedroom, and I would hear what would sound like a mass of voices all talking at once, all jumbled together. I couldn't make out what they were saying, anything like that. And it would happen, it did happen several times. And eventually I talked to somebody about it. I don't remember who it was. And they told me that the next time it happened, to try and slow the voices or the situation or whatever around me down to try and make out what they were trying to say. And I tried that, and it took a couple tries, but I finally managed to hear what they were saying. I don't remember exactly what it was off the top of my head because, like I said, it was a long time ago, but I think it had something to do with either murder or death. And after I managed to understand what they were saying, I heard them another maybe couple times or whatever, and then it stopped even once I lived there. And then after I've moved away, of course, it hasn't happened since. I don't know if it was an actual paranormal experience or something else. I just wanted your opinion on it.
Again, very common. People tell me they'll hear multiple voices, and they can't quite make out what they are saying. And it's something, again, with this whole thing that it goes in like a cycle. Now, from what you're describing to me, it could have had more to do with the property than you per se, because it stopped once you moved away. But again, trying to decipher sometimes when you're hearing these multiple voices, it's a very difficult thing. What I am curious is, what do you mean by you were able to get it to where you were able to understand what they were saying?
Well, I don't remember it too well, but I do remember that after talking to whoever it was I talked to, it took me several tries, but I managed to listen, I guess you could say, listen more intensely or intently or whatever, and make out like one voice over the rest pretty much. Not where I was hearing them all at once, but still making out what they were all saying, just one voice over all the rest, as if I was able to block out all the rest. And it's the only time I've ever been able to block out other, you know, noises in my life. Every other time I hear something, it's one thing and one thing only, but it's not what I want to hear. It's whatever my ears want me to hear. You know, like if I'm in a crowd, only one specific thing, not necessarily who I'm talking to or whatever, so...
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's the first I've ever heard that. But again, it's something that's very interesting and something I want to look a little deeper into.
John, why did they call you the godfather of the paranormal? You're not that old.
I know. How I ever ended up, I got more nicknames, George, than I don't know.
My name's Vito Corleone.
I know. I mean, it just amazes me. Still don't remember. I know it was about a good 10 years ago when everybody started calling me the Godfather. I think it was just because my beard and everything turned gray so young.
You go into these places and go, ghost, go away.
I know. And I'm not even Italian. I'm Greek.
I love it. We go now to Dan in Augusta, Georgia, East. Hey, Danny, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I learned years ago how to kick open the door to my imagination and enter a alternate reality or a fantasy world that's actually more real than the real world. During the day, I kind of sleepwalk through the day like I'm on autopilot. But at night, when I get home, I kick open the door to my imagination, and I can do whatever I want to. And then the spirits jump in me and act out their fantasies using my mind as like a movie screen or a viewing board. They act out these crazy fantasies you wouldn't believe. They're just more real than life itself. And then every night, my viewership gets bigger and bigger because more and more spirits come to see the wild movies that are going on inside of my imagination. And they get more exciting and more wild every night. And it's almost like, I don't know where this thing's going to go. You know, it gets crazier and crazier by the night. You ever heard anything like that?
Well, that's very common. That's telling me you're probably very in tuned, very sensitive or psychic, if you will. And a lot of times when people are in their lax state is when they'll get the most type of activity that will occur. So, again, that's something that's very common. A lot of people have these types of experiences and they're able to tune in, and I refer to them more as being, you know, sensitive or psychic and being able to pick up on that.
Okay, thank you for that. A couple more phone calls, Nick, and we are done. Joel is in Los Angeles. Hey, Joel, thank you.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good, Joel.
Hey, so really quick, I was watching an old favorite movie of mine, Event Horizon, and this actually gave me the idea for my question. I haven't heard you guys talk about spirits or ghosts in a more interdimensional manner you really more talked about it on a religious or spiritual manner. But because I was watching that movie, it kind of gave me the idea that spirits and ghosts could probably come through interdimensionally. I would really like to hear you guys talk about that.
Well, that, earlier in the show I did, I was talking about the Strand Fairy that people talk about, where it can be interdimensional, where it, we don't know if there's something that's occurring out there, that, that there's different levels. So again, it's a theory, and it's something that I study, and I do talk to different people about this, because we really don't know what's out there. We don't know if there's other life forms and other planets. You know, these are all things and all answers we'd love to have. And it's not something that I rule out, buddy. I look at that very closely, because we really don't know.
We don't know, do we, John? We want to get those answers, but we just don't know.
I hope before we're ghosts, George.
Well, let's hope we're not ghosts for a long time. Huh? Are you going to come back if you're a ghost? You're going to haunt us?
You know, I used to say yes. I always used to tell my kids I was going to torment them. But I'll tell you what, after doing this all these years, when I finally do leave here, I just want to cross over, go on the fluffy cloud, and just have a good time.
And off you go. Brenda's in Hanford, California, first-time caller. Hi, Brenda. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Hi, John.
Hi.
I was asleep one night in bed, sound asleep, and I woke up to this force going into my head, right there above the where the eyebrow line would be, right in the middle of my head. And I go, what the heck? What's going on here? And I waited a few minutes, and I think it stopped, and I went back to sleep. Well, when I got up the next morning, I went into the bathroom. I was going to wash my face. And I looked in the mirror, and I have this red mark, like the shape of a head, two horns, horn on each side. I went to the skin doctor. He said it was rosacea. I had never had it before until that incident happened. And I'm wondering if you could give me any clue, John, as to what happened?
Well,
I don't, you know, here again, that's the center there is considered your third eye. I mean, and people, you know, most commonly do get their information come through there and they will feel it. But I mean, I've never heard it described as a face with having horns or anything on it. I'm not quite sure how to interpret that.
I never had that mark before until that incident happened. So. And I do find now, for some reason, I have some kind of abilities. I don't know.
Well, we all have some abilities, don't we, John?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we're all born with it. And, you know, we're taught not to use it. We're taught not to be able to pick up on things. But, again, you know, we all have that instinct in us, and every once in a while it kicks in. Now, a lot of times people in later life will develop their abilities and things will come through them. And I always look at that as there's an intent and purpose why later on in life those types of things kick in. And it's usually, you know, part of that spiritual journey that people go on.
John, I consider you one of the giants of the paranormal field.
Well, thank you, sir.
And, you know, you really can't stay away almost 4 years like you did last time. I know you've been busy.
Well, we'll make it sooner this time, George.
Let's go next to Jacob in British Columbia. Hey, Jacob, go ahead.
How you doing, sir? It's an honor to talk to you, and I'm grateful to have this chance to tell this story to John. We all grew up with the date November 22nd, 1963 in our brains from Dallas, Texas. November 22nd, 1993, I was playing in a rock band, Rod Stewart cover band. After we finished the show, we all got together in the bar for a drink. This beautiful, angelic woman came up to me and asked me if I would like to go home with her. So immediately I said yes. All my friends saw her. I went outside, got a taxi. She said, be a gentleman and open the door, which I did. All the way to the address, I said, the taxi driver said, what's the address? She said it, and he didn't hear her. So I repeated the address. The whole way there, he kept on saying, who are you talking to? Anyways, I didn't think anything of it. So we finally got to her place. To make a long story short, we got intimate. And in the middle of that, I'm trying to think of things like carburetors or whatever to, you know, keep going. And all of a sudden, I look up at, she had this digital clock. Remember the kind that, not the one with the illuminated numbers, but the ones that used to flip down, those kind of clocks?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I look at the clock. And it says 666, and all of a sudden I feel this unbelievable pain in my back. This girl is scratching me. I look down, and this angelic person has turned into like a mummy with like fuzzy gray hair. I got up, grabbed my clothes, jumped off the second floor balcony. The cops picked me up on the street, a main street in Victoria, BC here, with blood all over me.
They oh, my gosh.
Interrogated me. Anyways, the worst part is, this has been well documented, sir. In 1997, my doctor introduced me to a priest. I went to the church at 3 o'clock in the morning every November 22nd. My back starts welting up and bleeding. They've taken videos of me. Now, the last time we had to start doing it in private because there were so many priests and nuns watching this every November 22nd at 3. By 4 o'clock in the morning, everything's gone.
That's amazing. John Zaffis, thank you so much. John's website, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. For Dan Galante, Gita Salvati, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, John B. Wells, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, day two of my frog voice, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.